forget. I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, January 7th, 2008 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours, and if I sound a little bit funny, it's because I'm coming to you via telephone as opposed to my computer, which is on the fritz. You ever had one of those days where you just, nothing goes right? You know, I mean, I've had one of these weeks. I mean, it's almost reminding me of the movie Papillon. For all of those who've seen that movie, remember Papillon? He got arrested and he went to a prison in French Guiana. And he kept escaping. And then every time he'd come back into, or every time they'd catch him and put him back in, they'd put him in isolation. And he keeps saying, I'm still here. Well, that's the way I feel these days with what's going on with this computer. I've got it in for diagnostics check right now because seemingly something happened to it last night, and I got a little pop-up on there that said I'm the 10,000th guest, and they wanted to give me a free laptop, and it wouldn't let me off there. So when I tried to get it off there, something invaded my computer and caused it to crash. At any rate, no big deal. I'm still broadcasting. Now, I will tell you, second hour, since I'm blind again here today, folks, like I was a few days last week, second hour I'm going to have Tim Wingate come up, and he's going to ride shotgun with me and field the calls because I have no idea who's calling in, and I don't have Skype. At any rate, what I'm going to do today, first hour, is I'm going to cover Benazir Bhutto's assassination. And also, there's two articles. I want you to go into my website today. I want you to pay close attention. Both of these articles are posted on my website. One of them is Bhutto's Assassination, Who Gains, by F. William Engdahl. And the other one is Sybil Edmonds in the London Times. Now, for those of you who might recall, about a month ago, there was a press release that Sybil Edmonds released saying that she would be happy to talk to any of the mainstream corporate media, ABC, NBC, or CBS, MSNBC, or whatever, and just basically spill all. Of course, our controlled media didn't take her up on that. But guess what? The London Times did, folks. So I've got some stuff today that is really, really interesting because I'm finding a possible tie in between some of the stuff that Sybil Edmonds knows and what happened to Benazir Bhutto. And as we go through this, you're going to see what I mean. So it's going to be real, real interesting. And before I get into that, and I'm going to do it right after the first break, I want to give a shout-out to Cartivite, Don Wiskin. For all of you who know, I've been taking that stuff for about, 2.5 months. Feel great, okay, even though I had a bad day today. I've been running around all morning, but I probably wouldn't have had the energy to do it without Cartivite. So give Don Wiskin a call at 877-928-8822. Again, that's 877-928-8822. And, of course, let's not forget my buddy John Onesti for any of your investment advice, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, where to put your money, where not to put your money. Give John Onesti a call at 505-296-2453. Again, that's 505-296-2453. Now, do me a favor, guys. Don't call in during the first hour because, again, as I say, I will not have my shotgun-riding friend Tim Wingate with me. I'll be totally blind, and I won't know, and you'll just be sitting on hold, not to mention the fact that as I go through these two articles and the tie-ins here, it's most likely going to take the entire hour, so it would be a waste of time for you to call in. At any rate, I will be back in three with the article, Bhutto's Assassination, Who Gains? And then we'll see what happens with Sybil Edmonds in the London Times. It'll be a good show today. Stick with me, folks. Call your friends and neighbors. This will be another good one. Be right back.
Hi. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up at 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you are interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona via telephone today. And I'm going to get into this Benazir Bhutto assassination. But before I do, I want to remind everybody, I've got some significant articles and also a couple of interesting video clips. If you go into my website at www.theamericanawakening.org, I posted those yesterday before my computer finally crashed. And what's interesting is there's another article up there called Anyone Who Thinks That Israel Had Anything to Do with 9/11 is Naive. And I want you to pay – I'd like for you to read that article. I was going to get to it today. It may, and I may not. I doubt if I'm going to get to it. But it's interesting to coincide that with also a video that I've got posted up there. It's a banned Fox News clip where Fox News reported on a possible Israeli connection to 9/11. And as I go through this today, I think you're going to find, as I did, that we're getting closer, folks, to finding out who the culprits are and being able to point a finger. So let's get started with this. This is Bhutto's assassination, Who Gains? The assassination of prominent political leaders, presumably protected by the best security, is no easy thing. It requires agencies of professional intelligence training to ensure that the job is done and that no person is caught alive who can lead to those behind. Typically, from the assassination of Archduke Francis Ferdinand in Sarajevo on July of 1914 to JFK, the person pulling the trigger is just an instrument of a far deeper conspiracy. So, too, in the assassination on December 27th of Pakistani former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, Ki Bono, who benefits? What was behind the murder of Bhutto At the moment, her party appeared about to win a resounding election victory in the planned January 8th elections, thereby posing a mass-based challenge to the dictatorial rule of President Musharraf. Musharraf's government was indecently quick to blame al-Qaeda, the dubious entity allegedly the organization of Osama bin Laden, whom Washington accused for masterminding the September 11, 2001 attacks. Now, follow along with me on this, because this is going to get good, folks. I did a little cross-referencing here, and it's going to get really exciting. Musharraf, just days after the assassination, declared that he was, quote, sure that al-Qaeda was the author, even though on U.S. pressure he had asked Scotland Yard to come and investigate. Quote, I want to say it with certainty that these people, al-Qaeda, martyred Benazir Bhutto, unquote. He named Batala Masood, a militant tribal chief fighting the Pakistani army who had alleged ties to al-Qaeda and the Afghan Taliban. Masood denied the charge. He had been behind such a dramatic event. The desired propaganda impact among militant Islamists would require taking open responsibility instead. Now, by linking the Bhutto killing to al-Qaeda, Musharraf conveniently gains several goals. First, he reinforces the myth of al-Qaeda, something very useful to Washington at this time of growing global skepticism over the real intent of its war on terrorism, making Musharraf more valuable to Washington. Second, it gives Musharraf a plausible scapegoat to blame for the convenient elimination of a serious political rival to his consolidation of one-man rule. Now, notable also is the fact that Musharraf's regime has rejected making a routine autopsy on Bhutto's body. Very interesting. Bhutto publicly charged that the government had refused to make follow-up inquiry after the October bombing, which nearly killed her and did 134 followers near her automobile. Bhutto accused Pakistani authorities of not providing her with sufficient security and hinted that they may have been complicit in the Karachi attack. Now, she also made clear Now, I want you to pay real close attention to this, folks, because herein lies the most likely motive for the killing, or the assassination, excuse me. She also made clear in a UK television interview shortly before her death that she would clean out the Pakistan military and security services of corrupt and Islamist elements. In the same David Frost interview, Bhutto also dropped the explosive news that Afghan Taliban leader Sheikh Omar had killed bin Laden some time back. Well, now, that fact would make the alleged bin Laden terror videos periodically delivered to Western media clear as forgeries. Now, I'm asking you, would that not rain on the neocon parade? And would that not give motive for al-Qaeda, or, as we all know, al-Qaeda, to assassinate this lady? They certainly couldn't have anybody coming forward, especially in her position, of saying, hey, you know what? Osama bin Laden's dead. Because that means that everybody's going to know the jig's up. Let me continue here. Days after the Bhutto killing, Pakistani authorities published a photo alleged to be of the severed head of the suicide bomber who killed Bhutto. You know, severed heads like Lee Harvey Oswald don't talk or say embarrassing things. It has been known for months that the Bush-Cheney administration has been maneuvering to strengthen their political control of Pakistan, paving the way for the expansion and deepening of the, quote, war on terrorism across the region. Now, who was Bhutto? The Bhutto family was itself hardly democratic, drawing its core from feudal landowning families, but opposed to the commanding role of the army and ISI intelligence. Succeeding her father as head of the party, Benazir declared herself chairperson for life, a position she held under her, until her death. Bhutto's husband, Ali Sardari, Mr. 10%, as is known in Pakistan for his demanding a 10% cut from letting major government contracts when Benazir was prime minister. In 2003, Benazir and her husband were convicted in Switzerland of money laundering and taking bribes from Swiss companies as prime minister. The family is allegedly worth several billion dollars as a result. As prime minister from 1993 to 1996, she advocated a conciliatory policy towards Islamists, especially the Taliban in Afghanistan. Now, the Harvard-educated Benazir had close ties to the U.S. and U.K. intelligence as well. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this again, folks, and I want you to make a note of this. She used the offices of neoconservative United States Congressman Tom Lantos, who, by the way, Tom Lantos is a Democratic congressman from California. He's not going to seek a 15th term. He announced that just a few days ago, that he's not seeking a 15th term in Congress, and he alleges that it's because of he's got a bout with esophageal cancer. But as I proceed here through this, we're going to find out that may not just be all there is to it. So, let's see. She used the offices of neoconservative U.S. Congressman Tom Lantos when she was in Washington, according to our informed reports. One reason Vice President Cheney backed her as a, quote, safe way to save his Pakistan strategic alliance in face of growing popular protests against Musharraf's declaring martial law last year. The ploy was to have Bhutto make a face-saving deal with Musharraf to put a democratic face on the dictatorship, while Washington maintained its strategic control, according to Washington Post of 28th of December. For Benazir Bhutto, the decision to return to Pakistan was sealed during a telephone call from Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, just a week before Bhutto flew home in October. The call culminated more than a year of secret diplomacy. They've been talking about this for a year, folks, and came only when it became clear that the heir to Pakistan's most powerful political dynasty was the only one who could bail out Washington's key ally in the battle against terrorism. As President Pervez Musharraf's political future began to unravel this year, Bhutto became the only politician who might help him stay in power. Now, in November, John Negroponte, the former Bush administration intelligence czar and now Deputy Secretary of State, was deployed to Islamabad to pressure Musharraf to ease the situation by holding elections and forming a power sharing with Bhutto. But once in Pakistan, where her supporters were mobilized, Bhutto made clear she would seek an election coalition to openly oppose Musharraf and military rule in the planned elections. Informed intelligence sources say there was a cynical deal cut behind the scenes between Washington and Musharraf. Musharraf is known to be Cheney's preferred partner, and Cheney, we are told, is the sole person running U.S.-Pakistan policy today. Were Musharraf to agree to stationing of U.S. special forces inside Pakistan, Plan B, the democratic farce with Bhutto, could be put aside in favor of the continued Musharraf sole rule. Washington would turn a blind eye. Now, on December 28th, one day after the Bhutto assassination, the Washington Post reported that in early 2008, U.S. special forces are expected to vastly expand their presence in Pakistan as part of an effort to train and support indigenous counterinsurgency forces and clandestine counterterrorism units under the U.S. Central Command and U.S. Special Operations Command, a major shift in U.S.-Pakistani ties. Now, until now, Musharraf and his military have refused such direct U.S. control, aside from the agreement after September 11th, extracted from Musharraf under extreme pressure of possible U.S. bombing. Remember when they threatened him? To give the U.S. military direct control of the Pakistan nuclear weapons. And now, take a note of that, the Pakistan nuclear weapons, because this is all going to come together, folks, as I continue with this. The elimination of Bhutto leaves the opposition in a vacuum. The country lacks a credible political leader who can command national support, which leaves the military enhanced as an institution with its willingness to defend Musharraf on the streets. This gives the Pentagon and Washington a chance to consolidate a military opposition to future Chinese economic hegemony, the real geopolitical goal of Washington. Now, that's that one. Who gains? Well, the United States government would gain. But I'm not done yet, because as I went through and as I was perusing through articles to do this show today, I ran across Sybil Edmonds, that has come forward in the London Times. And it's going to be interesting to note some of the similarities here. And again, I want you to go into my website, folks, www.theamericanawakening.org, because Sybil Edmonds has not only come forward, but she's also posted pictures, and they're on my website. We'll be back in three. Go in there and take a look, www.theamericanawakening.org. theamericanawakening.org. I'll be back in three with whistleblower Sybil Edmonds in the London Times. Stick with me.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I don't know about you guys. Well, yeah, I do know about you guys. I've been wondering for a long time just what it was that Sybil Edmonds knew that the government was so hot to trot to silence her under, what was it, executive privilege, national security, whatever it was. And they have bound her up tighter than a drum and would not let her speak out. And then she came out with this press release here about a month ago, I think, saying that she would now talk to mainstream media and nobody would take her up on it. Of course, we know why. It's a corporate-controlled media, and we know who controls the media. But she did speak into the London Times. Now, I'm going to go through this one, and I want you, again, go into the website, www.theamericanawakening.org, and click on the article that shows the pictures of the guy. Now, I want to mention that she is not naming names. She's not saying that these people, she's pointing a finger and say this guy did that or whatever. But there's a number of significant players in this game that when you see their pictures, you're going to know that what she's saying without saying it is these are the people most likely responsible for it. And she's the one that was listening, remember? Okay, so let me get into this. whistleblower has made a series of extraordinary claims about how corrupt government officials allowed Pakistan and other states to steal nuclear weapons secrets. Now, Sybil Edmonds, a 37-year-old former Turkish language translator for the FBI, listened into hundreds of sensitive intercepted conversations while based at the agency's Washington field office. She approached the Sunday Times last month after reading about an Al-Qaeda terrorist who had revealed his role in training some of the 9/11 hijackers while he was in Turkey. Edmonds described how foreign and now, you got to stick with me on this one, folks, and you need to go into the website and read the article to yourself. Edmonds described how foreign intelligence agents had enlisted the support of United States officials to acquire a network of moles in sensitive military and nuclear institutions, and then go in there and look at the pictures of these people. Now, some of these people in there are people that we have suspected for a long time. Among the hours of covert tape recordings, she says she heard evidence that one well-known senior official in the United States State Department was being paid by Turkish agents in Washington who were selling the information onto the black market buyers, including Pakistan. The name of the official who has held a series of top government posts is known to the Sunday Times, and he, of course, strongly denies the claims. However, Edmonds said he was aiding foreign operatives against United States interests by passing them highly classified information, not only from the State Department, but also from the Pentagon, in exchange for money, position, and political objectives. She claims that the FBI was also gathering evidence against senior Pentagon officials, including household names who were aiding foreign agents. And again, I want you to revert back, and I want you to go look at those pictures. And while you're going in there and looking at those pictures, I'm going to go back to this other article, folks, and I'm going to read one quick sentence. The Harvard-educated Benazir had close ties to the U.S. and U.K. intelligence as well. She used the offices of neoconservative U.S. Congressman Tom Lantos when he was in Washington, according to our informed reports. One reason Vice President Cheney backed her as a, quote, safe way to save his Pakistan strategic alliance in face of growing popular protest against Musharraf's declaring martial law last year. Now, as you go in and you scroll down those pictures, guess whose picture's in there, folks? None other than Tom Lantos. Isn't that interesting? All right, let me go back and continue with this other one. If you made public all the information that the FBI has on the case, you will see very high-level people going through criminal trials. Now, the question that you have to ask yourself, these high-level people that would be going through criminal trials, would that happen to me? These very same people that she's got those pictures posted up? Because I'll tell you what, folks, in all the investigation, and I did a lot of it on 9/11, not early on, because as you all know, I woke up just a couple years ago, but when I went through my rabbit hole investigation, it took me about 2.5 months, and I uncovered everything I could, like a lot of you I know did, is that there were certain players in that game, dual citizens with Israel, that were coincidentally in the wrong place at the wrong time, or I don't even remember. Let's see, Dov Zakheim was the guy that happened to be controlling the Pentagon's finances when Donald Rumsfeld came up the day before 9/11 and said they were missing $2.3 trillion. I mean, there's several instances like that. But at any rate, let me continue with this. Her story shows just how much the West was infiltrated by foreign states seeking nuclear secrets, and it illustrates how Western government officials turned a blind eye to, or were even helping, countries such as Pakistan acquire bomb technology. The wider nuclear network has been monitored for many years by a joint Anglo-American intelligence effort, but rather than shut it down, let me continue with this after the break, because this is real interesting. You need to get a pen and paper and take notes on this, or you can go in and read it, print it off, folks, and underline it like I have, because you're going to notice the similarities here between Bhutto and also the Sybil Edmonds thing with 9/11. And there's another article in there that you should read about being naive if you think Israel's involved. Be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with me. I got more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm reading an article, the whistleblower, Sybil Edmonds, in the London Times, coming forward. And there's pictures on my website of the people, well, she doesn't say, but you can pretty much rest assured that these are the people involved in it. Let me continue with this. The wider nuclear network has been monitored for many years by a joint Anglo-American intelligence effort, but rather than shut it down, investigation by law enforcement bodies such as the FBI and Britain's Revenue and Custom have been aborted to preserve, quote, diplomatic relations. Yeah, aborted my hiney to preserve diplomatic relations. Edmonds, a fluent speaker of Turkish and Farsi, was recruited by the FBI in the aftermath of the September 11th attacks. Her previous claims about incompetence inside the FBI have been well documented in America. She has given evidence to closed sessions of Congress and the 9/11 Commission, but many of the key points of her testimony have remained secret. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe now we're starting to find out, guys. She has now decided to divulge some of that information after becoming disillusioned with the United States authorities' failure to act. And all I can tell this woman is, you go, girl. One of Edmonds' main roles in the FBI was to translate thousands of hours of conversations by Turkish diplomat and political targets that had been covertly recorded by the agency. a backlog of tapes had built up dating back to 1997, which were needed for the FBI investigation into links between the Turks and Pakistani Israeli and U.S. targets. Before she left the FBI in 2002, she heard evidence that pointed to money laundering, drug imports, and attempts to acquire nuclear and conventional weapons technology. What I found was damning, she said. While the FBI was investigating, several arms of the government were shielding what was going on. Is that any surprise to us, guys? The Turks, now here we go, listen to this. The Turks and the Israelis had planted moles in the military and academic institutions which handled nuclear technologies. Edmonds said there were several transactions of nuclear material every month with the Pakistanis among the eventual buyers. The network appeared to be obtaining information from every nuclear agency in the United States, she said. They were helped, she says, by the high-ranking State Department officials, and again, I want to relate you back into my website. Go look at the pictures. The high-ranking State Department officials who had provided some of their moles, many PhD students, with security clearance to work in sensitive nuclear research facilities, and these included Los Alamos Nuclear Laboratory in Mexico, which is responsible for the security of the United States nuclear deterrent. In one conversation, Edmonds learned the official arranging to pick up a $15,000 cash bribe. The package was to be dropped off at an agreed location by someone in the Turkish diplomatic community who was working for the network. The Turks, she says, often acted as a conduit for the inter-services intelligence, and that's the Pakistani ISI. Remember those people? We'll get to those in a minute. Pakistani spy agency, because they were less likely to attract suspicion. Venues such as the American Turkish Council in Washington were used to drop off the cash, which was picked up by the official. Edmonds said, I heard at least three transactions like this over a period of 2.5 years, and there are almost certainly more. And, of course, as we all know, the Pakistani operation was led by General Mahmoud Ahmed, then ISI chief. Gee, isn't that the guy that dropped $100,000, he wired it to Mohammed Atta just a couple days prior to 9/11. You see how this is starting to come together, folks? You know, we're never going to get an official reopening of an investigation on 9/11, not unless maybe we get lucky and Ron Paul's elected president. So we have to do it ourselves. And although, you know, these people may never come forward, at least we'll know in our heart and minds who did it. Intercepted communication showed Ahmed and his colleagues stationed in Washington were in constant contact with attachés in the Turkish embassy. Intelligence analysts say that members of the ISI were close to al-Qaeda before and after 9/11. And so, who is al-Qaeda? Can you say al-Qaeda? Remember back to this other article here with the assassination of Bhutto, where she was going to basically blow the whistle and announce that bin Laden had been killed. Remember that? Okay. Indeed, Ahmed was accused, here we go, accused of sanctioning a $100,000 wire payment to Mohammed Atta, one of the 9/11 hijackers, immediately before the attacks. Yeah, he was accused. He did it, folks. We know he did it, okay? We've proven that he did it. The results of the espionage were almost certainly passed to Abdir Qadir Khan, the Pakistani nuclear scientist, and Khan was close to Ahmed and the ISI. While running Pakistan's nuclear program, he became a millionaire by selling atomic secrets to Libya, to Iran, and to North Korea. Now, he became a millionaire by selling nuclear secrets to Libya, and I have to announce again, Iran and North Korea. So all of this drum beating about Iran, you know, on a nuclear weapons program, which the National Intelligence Estimate has said that they stopped doing it in 2003. Gee, if they were doing that, okay, which evidently they were before 2003, where did they get the secrets? Well, they got the secrets from Abdul Qadir Khan, the Pakistani nuclear scientist. And where did he get the secrets? All of the moles that were in our government. But let's continue here. Khan caused an alert among Western intelligence agencies when his aides met Osama bin Laden. We were aware of contact between Khan's people and Al-Qaeda, a former CIA officer said last week. The reason that the CIA officer was aware of it, because Al-Qaeda is Al-Qaeda. There was absolute panic when he initially discovered this, but it kind of panned out in the end. It is likely that the nuclear secrets stolen from the United States would have been sold to a number of rogue states by Khan. Edmonds was later to see the scope of the Pakistani connections when it was revealed that one of her fellow translators at the FBI was the daughter of a Pakistani embassy official who worked for Ahmad. The translator was given a top-secret clearance despite protests from FBI investigators. Edmonds says packages containing nuclear secrets were delivered by Turkish operatives using their cover as members of the diplomatic and military community to contacts at the Pakistani embassy in Washington. Following 9/11, a number of foreign operatives were taken in for questioning by the FBI on suspicion that they knew about or somehow aided the attacks. Edmonds said that the State Department official once again proved useful. A primary target would call the official and point to names on the list and say, "We need to get them out of the U.S. because we can't afford for them to spill the beans." Now, let me repeat that. This is a State Department official, folks, quoting, saying a primary target would call the official, this State Department official, and point to names on the list and tell him that we need to get them out of the United States because we can't afford for them to spill the beans. The official, the State Department official, then said that he would take care of it. The four suspects on the list were released from interrogation and extradited. Now, remember the dancing Israelis? And again, that banned Fox News clip up on my website, theamericanawakening.org. Go take a look at it, folks. You'll see how this ties in. Edmonds also claims that a number of senior officials in the Pentagon had helped Israeli and Turkish agents. Go look at the pictures again, folks, and take a guess at which one of these senior officials were helping Israel. The people provided lists of potential moles from Pentagon-related institutions who had access to databases concerning the information, she said. The handlers who were part of the diplomatic community would then try to recruit those people to become moles for the network. The list contained all of their hooking points, which could be financial or sexual pressure points, their exact job in the Pentagon, and what stuff they had access to. One of the Pentagon figures under investigation was Lawrence Franklin, a former Pentagon analyst who was jailed in 2006 for passing U.S. defense information to lobbyists and sharing classified information with an Israeli diplomat. I see. He was one of the top people providing information in packages during 2000 and 2001, she said. Once acquired, the nuclear secrets could have gone anywhere. The FBI monitored Turkish diplomats who were selling copies of the information to the highest bidder. Edmonds said that certain greedy Turkish operators would make copies of the material and look around for buyers. They had agents who would find potential buyers. Now, in the summer of 2000, Sybil Edmonds says that FBI monitored one of the agents as he met two Saudi Arabian businessmen in Detroit to sell nuclear information that had been stolen from an Air Force base in Alabama. And she overheard the agent saying, "We have a package, and we're going to sell it for $250,000. Edmonds' employment with the FBI lasted for just 6 months. In March of 2002, she was dismissed after accusing a colleague of covering up illicit activity involving Turkish nationals. She has always claimed that she was victimized for being outspoken and was vindicated by an Office of the Inspector General review of her case 3 years later. It found that one of the contributory reasons for her sacking was that she had made valid complaints. We all remember that, don't we? The U.S. Attorney General has imposed a state secrets privilege order on her, which prevents her from revealing more details of the FBI's methods and current investigations. Why do you think that is, folks? It's because they don't want us to know of the FBI's methods and current investigations because they're nowhere near ethical. Her allegations were heard in a closed session of Congress, but no action has been taken, and she continues to campaign for public hearing, as I mentioned that press release she put out last month, of which none of this mainstream corporately owned media will give her any voice whatsoever, and we know why, don't we? She was able to discuss the case with the Sunday Times because By the end of January 2002, the Justice Department had shut down the program. The senior official in the State Department no longer works there. Last week, he denied all of Edmonds' allegations. In quotes, "If you are calling me to say somebody said that I took money, that's outrageous. I do not have anything to say about such stupid, ridiculous things as this." You know what that reminds me of? It's almost like an ad hominem attack. It's like they can't defend it, so they will not address it, and they call it ridiculous. Just like any of the 9/11 truthers that pop up and start talking about bombs in the building or whatever, the people can't defend it. They can't debate it, so they just say it's ridiculous. Or the guy's a tinfoil hat wearing idiot. It's the same modus operandi here. In researching this article, the Sunday Times has talked to two FBI officers, one serving, one former, and two former CIA sources who worked on nuclear proliferation. Now, while none was aware of specific allegations against officials she names, they did provide overlapping corroboration of her story. In other words, it's true. One of the CIA sources confirmed that the Turks had acquired nuclear secrets from the United States and shared the information with Pakistan and, in big capital letters, folks, Israel. We have no indication that Turkey has its own nuclear ambitions, but the Turks are traitors. To my knowledge, they became big players in the late 1990s, the source said. How Pakistan got the bomb, then sold it to its highest bidders. Now, I'm going to take you through a timeline here, folks. 1965, Zulfikar al-Bhutto, Pakistan's foreign minister, says, quote, "If India builds the bomb, we will eat grass, but we will get one of our own," unquote. Fast forward to 1974, nuclear program becomes increased priority as India tests a nuclear device. 1976, Abdur Qadir Khan, a scientist, which she was just mentioning here, steals secrets from a Dutch uranium plant made head of his nation's nuclear program by Bhutto, now the prime minister. 1976 onwards, clandestine network established to obtain materials and technology for uranium enrichment from the West. Fast forward to 1985, Pakistan produces weapons-grade uranium for the first time. 1989 through 91, Khan, that scientist, the nuclear scientist, Khan's network sells Iran nuclear weapons information and technology. That's way back in 1989 to 91. You know what I see here, folks, and this is really sad, is that I see an administration, and I don't know what the motivating factor is. I know that power is a motivating factor, greed, money. But I see a bunch of psychopaths that are just absolutely paranoid. You know, other people don't think like they think, but they think that everybody thinks like they think, including government leaders. So in 1989 to 91, Khan's network sells Iran nuclear weapons information and technology. Now, as we all know, the administration, Cheney, Rice, Bush, the Israelis have all been beating the war drums, saying that Iran may have a nuclear weapon if they don't have already. And this goes back to 1989 to 91, and it goes, you know, because they know that Iran was sold nuclear weapons secrets. So, yeah, they're paranoid. But Iran, in the National Intelligence Estimate, said they stopped working on the program back in, 2003? So it's nothing more than paranoia, and the basis for the agenda is about control, and it's about wiping Iran off the map or anybody that stands in the way over their possession of oil. 1991 to 97, Khan sells weapons technology to North Korea and Libya. Now, what happened with North Korea? They supposedly got a nuclear weapon and they tested a rocket, and then they put out an announcement that they backed off and they're not pursuing it, so the United States government has taken them off of the access of evil. Isn't that what happened? 1998, India tests a nuclear bomb, and Pakistan follows with a series of nuclear tests. And Khan says, "I never had any doubts. I was building a bomb. We had to do it." Now, fast forward up to 2001. CIA Chief George Tenet gathers officials for crisis summit on the proliferation of nuclear technology from Pakistan and other countries. Still in 2001, just weeks before 9/11, the nuclear scientist Khan's aides meet Osama bin Laden to discuss an al-Qaeda nuclear device. Again, in 2001, After 9/11 proliferation crisis becomes secondary as Pakistan is seen as an important ally in the war on terror. 2003, Libya abandons its nuclear weapons program and admits acquiring components through Pakistani nuclear scientists. 2004, Khan is placed under house arrest and confesses to supplying Iran, Libya, and North Korea with weapons technology. He is pardoned by President Musharraf. 2006, as we know, North Korea tests a nuclear bomb, supposedly. And get this one, folks. 2007, renewed fears that the bomb may fall in the hands of Islamic extremists as the killing of Benazir Bhutto throws the country into turmoil. Renewed fears that the bomb may fall into the hands of Islamic extremists as the killing of Benazir Bhutto throws the country into turmoil. So I'll take you back. The motivation here in that first article, this gives the Pentagon the elimination of Bhutto leaves the opposition in a vacuum. The country lacks a credible political leader, and it gives the Pentagon and Washington a chance to consolidate and the reason to put military opposition into Pakistan. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Stick with me.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to safecastleroyal.com. That's safecastleroyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. A short segment coming up at the top of the hour. And, oh, by the way, folks, you can stop scratching your heads and wringing your hands in bewilderment because here's the real reason no impeachment proceedings against are going to happen against any of the administration. It's more than a GOP or the GOP who do not want their administration impeached. It's also the liberal commie pinkos who do not want to pursue impeachment, those such as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and presidential candidates Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and others. Why isn't our government pursuing the impeachment process? Well, the reason that most of our Congress song and dances, and we've seen them on mainstream media getting asked those direct questions and just sashaying around doing a quick soft shoe, is because they don't want to pursue any action against the president and administration. It would create a deadly political and economic tsunami that would encircle many, many more individuals and organizations than merely Bush and Cheney. Just go into the website, theamericanawakening.org, and look at the pictures that Sybil Edmonds has posted, and that'll give you an idea, just a few of them. Fingering the administration would also mean the public identification, the humiliation, and legal actions against many wealthy individuals, many corporations, and even governments throughout the world, like the Turks, like the Pakistanis, and like the Israelis, folks. And again, back to those Israelis. I'll tell you, there's another article here I've got by Wendy Campbell that if I don't get into today, which I may probably won't, it's quite a lengthy one, I'm going to get into it this week, and it's another good one. Let's face it, our elected officials aren't going to do anything that will impede the ongoing wealthy campaign contributions and perks they receive, and going after Bush and the administration most assuredly would open more war wounds that are not in the best interest of our legislators. Wealthy big business now manages and operates this nation, and powerful corporations have bought the best government money can buy, and they aren't going to lose their grip on the United States just because Bush and the administration have come under the gun for their criminal behavior. We've seen more criminal behavior in this administration than any other administration in the history of this country, not to mention probably the world. But big business could care less about making the president accountable for his actions, because business is the power that determined the administration's objective and actions to begin with. Bush is only the pawn of wealthy special interests. He's a means to an end, and Bush is expendable because he's done his job and his term is nearly completed. So, consequently, we can't forget about our democratic representative government, the Constitution, any sort of justice, accountability, or impeachment actions, even if those actions are genuinely warranted, which they are, by the way. And why is that? Because they don't represent us anyway, guys. They represent the corporate interests. They represent the defense contractors, all those big money people that are lobbying in Congress and they're behind pulling the strings. You know, and what's really, really sickening is you just have to ask yourself how many of these politicians are invested up to their eyeballs in these defense contractors with their blood money from DynCorp and Halliburton and the Carlyle Group, of which George H.W. Bush is a major player. Are you starting to get the picture now? I know you are, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I guess maybe I'm saying this for the sake of the new listeners, you know, and I do have quite a few, is that the American people, and this is our job, folks, we need to wake them up to the big picture. Because propaganda has done such a wonderful job of dividing them with this false left-right paradigm and putting them in a position to be able to see certain factions enough to cause their gut to churn and say that there's something wrong. But they really, really can't get a handle on it. We, you and I, the veterans out there, the ones that have died the death and woke up, we've got a handle on it. It's time we took it to them. Look at the guts of this lady, Sybil Edmonds. She's come out. She's starting to pretty much point fingers. I commend her for it, and I say again, you go, girl. Be back in three. Or actually, be back in two. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Second hour coming up. I got my buddy Tim Wingate riding shotgun, and the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments. Love to hear from you, folks. I'd like to get your input on this. Be right back.
To do what it is you think I should. Since 19-